What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And I'm going to kick my wife's butt. Sitting to my left is my very annoying, lovely, beautiful wife, Nancy.
And we finally, after how many, we've probably talked about this movie 30 times in the time that we've done our shows, We are finally getting to cover one of Nancy's favorite movies, probably easily in her top 10, but we are finally...
Of horror movies.
Of horror movies, yes. We are finally covering 1978's Magic, starring Anthony Hopkins, Anne Margaret, and Burgess Meredith. Now, when we did the Q&A episode, you said this movie was one of the movies that got you into, like, your extreme horror. So you said very psychological, obviously, but you consider this to be like an extreme horror movie.
It's in that it's not your run of the mill horror movie. It's not a Child's Play. It's not a Friday the 13th.
It could almost be Child's Play because, I mean, obviously the premise is a ventriloquist dummy, but...
I think because it delves into, like, deep things that are deeper than the...
Deep psychoses.
Yeah. So it's the best psychological thriller.
Now, since we've been together, because we've been together for over 25 years, we've probably... And you introduced me to this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I'd even heard of it, but... How many times, rough estimate, would you say you've seen this movie?
300.
300 times?
Yeah.
Honestly, that much?
Well, let's see.
I mean, you watched it when your brothers were at home. Yeah. But I mean...
Well, I think it was on Showtime, so whenever it was on...
Oh. We watched it. So probably not the whole thing 300 times, just... You've seen it on TV.
Yeah.
300
it's
times.
It's been on the TV.
Okay. All right. I didn't remember, like, the last 10 minutes of it until just this time for some reason. For whatever reason, it always seems like it ends earlier for me when we watch it. But, I mean, obviously, it's a very psychological movie. It, like you said, it dives deep into the psychoses of Anthony Hopkins.
And he's so creepy as it is.
He... Can be. It does. It definitely seems like he's...
Well, that's what made the Hannibal Lecter thing, so...
Oh, him as Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah. His creepiness is... I mean, he's a good actor, but his creepiness is what...
Because his trademark. I don't think he comes off in normal... Like, his normal self is being creepy, but he can play that creep really well. Is that kind of what you're...
I don't know. I guess I'd have to meet him in person.
And he was one of the people you said you would want to meet when your sister Joni asked the question, who was a horror icon you'd want to meet? He was one of the people.
Oh.
Because you did bring up this movie and you said you'd want to know if this movie in particular was one of his favorite movies
I remember that. You say that.
And we did just before we watched the movie, we watched some of the behind the scenes things. Apparently he was doing the ventriloquist, or he was making the voice of Fats, the dummy. He was not making the dummy move. That was another guy, but he was doing all his own card tricks too. And coin flip, coin roll, whatever you call it. So he's definitely talented. But again, so it's 1978's Magic. It stars a 6.8 on IMDb. It stars Anthony Hopkins, Anne Margaret, and Burgess Meredith as Corky, Peggy Ann Snow, and Ben Green, respectively.
When your heart begins to pound, when your mind begins to go, keep telling yourself, it's only a movie.
You do magic too?
Corky does magic. I only do tricks.
There's never been a magician like him.
How long you
been like this, kid?
You never really told why you were here.
Hiding. Wasn't that cheap in New York?
You want success, but you're afraid of it.
I figured I'd stop by here and ask you folks about you.
Not afraid.
Where were you living? What city? How many kids?
I'm not afraid.
Never expected to find you. I've loved you all my damn life.
I won't be here!
I was afraid of success. Like you said, I needed to get my head on straight.
And now you're fine?
Sure, on account of Peg. I've known her ever since high school. I never figured I'd have a chance with her.
Peggy Ann Snow, please, let me follow. Wherever you go.
But you and me take off. I love Peg. Just the two of us. Now everything's changed. She believes me.
A man appears after 15 years. Says run away with me.
Don't kill her. Oh, please, don't kill her.
No, I can't do it! I won't do it! You can't leave me!
Magic. A terrifying love story. Joseph E. Levine presents Magic, starring Anthony Hopkins and Margaret Burgess Meredith, Ed Lauter, distributed by 20th Century Fox.
So, okay, we've a little bit dived into why you like this movie, but is it because it's a character study that you like it, or is it just because it's a
family favorite? I mean, whenever we would talk about, you know, around the fire, scary movies, our favorite scary movies or something like that. I mean,
well, your mom was always a doll collector too.
Yeah. Yeah. She really loved this movie.
And again, she probably had the hots for Anthony Hopkins.
Probably.
Much like Vincent Price. You've also shared a little bit about how you've had some family relatives that were a little off the beaten path, a little on the goofy side.
I said that about
you
my family?
You said you had some relatives in Eloise. And
oh, yeah.
So I think the downward spiral of Anthony Hopkins in this movie of Corky might hit a little close to home.
No, I was just... You're like going through the synopsis of the movie and you're talking about him and his name being Corky. It's just funny sounding because you're being so serious. It would be like having a speech and then having to say fart, you know.
Flatulent. Okay, so yeah. Let's switch things up a little bit. I'm sure I can probably guess, but we'll do the gore score again and then we'll do the overall rating. So what would you give this one on the gore score? Because it's not a very violent movie. And I can probably imagine what both of your scores would be. So, but hit me with them anyway, out of 10. The gore score.
The only thing that I felt in this whole movie that was, besides it being a creepy plot line, was them trying to pass Burgess Meredith off as a bald guy. Because you could clearly see, as a hairdresser, that they shaved the top of his head. It was really obvious to me. And it wasn't like they didn't put makeup on it, so it just looked like a freshly shaved scalp, and it was lighter than his face color.
What does that have to do with the gore score and the overall rating?
Oh, that was cringy. The most cringeworthy part of the movie.
Okay. Now I'm caught up. Okay. So, okay, but your gore score, though, out of 10, what would it be?
2.
Okay, and then your overall rating, I'm sure I can guess this one.
Overall horror movie rating or overall movie?
Your overall rating. I mean, it's a horror movie, so what's your overall rating?
Well, it would be a 10 on my horror movie scale, but it wouldn't be a 10 on my regular movie.
Is that how you've graded all your movies?
Well, when it was specified what we were talking about.
But I mean, Okay, wait a second. So it's a horror podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Have you given all your ratings based on...
like all movies?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure we would have specified before we did the rating.
I hope not. Holy cow. We'd have some really whacked out ratings. Yeah, mine, same with mine. It's a 2 on the gore score. There's not very much gore at all, you know.
Except for when they use the dummy to whack.
To beat Ben Green.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, spoiler, the stabbing of Duke, another character. But anyway, so... Okay, so yeah, a 2 on the gore score, and I'll easily give this a very strong 9 or a 10 overall as my overall rating.
Overall horror movie rating? Well, overall movie rating?
No, we watched a horror movie. I'm rating it as a horror movie.
Well,
I'm not rating it.
Some people, this might be their favorite movie overall. That's why I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wait a second here. We're going to... Okay. So, what's another one of your favorite movies? Okay, Funny Games.
Yeah.
Okay. When we watched that way back,
mm-hmm.
did you rate that as a horror movie? Or did you rate that as an overall movie?
Mm.
Because... I guess it really doesn't... Funny Games may not be a good example.
It's a really good horror movie. So it's, you know, high on the horror scale, but probably low on the general movie.
Okay.
List.
I'm trying to think of a movie that would fall in a category that it could be either or. 7? Would you consider that horror, or is that...
I think... Didn't we... We discussed this, I think...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a movie that would be, like, it could fall under a horror category or something else, like a crime drama or, well, Copycat.
Yeah.
Copycat is not necessarily horror, even though it deals with horror well, elements. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
I had a good point that I was going to make, and it completely
all right.
gone.
So okay, so since this is a horror movie podcast, we are basing our ratings as being a horror movie, not overall. But the overall score is what we think of the movie. Let's put it that way.
What we think of the movie in general, or think of the movie among horror movies?
No, as we think we're not rating it against other horror movies. We're rating it as we like it. I am so confused right now. You have never... I'm completely mind-boggled. Okay, so... Just give me your rating of the movie. Not horror, not against anything else. What do you rate the movie? What are you rating the movie at? Just your rating, overall.
Overall? Movies.
No.
Or overall horror movies.
No. No, 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 no. Oh my gosh, you're a dingbat. I'm not saying overall. I'm saying overall.
So overall movies, every genre, horror, comedy, drama.
Not all as in all encompassing. Not all as in like, yeah, not all as in like all encompassing, but like overall, like, how do you explain overall? What is your rating of the movie?
My rating?
Yes. Not as anything, just as the movie.
What are we comparing it to then?
We're comparing it to itself.
You can't rate something by comparing it to itself.
Oh my lord. Okay. We're not even going to get to the movie. You're not comparing the movie Magic to the movie Funny Games. Okay.
Why not? Because they're both psychological thrillers.
No. We're not comparing the movie Magic to the movie Funny Games. We're comparing the movie Magic to itself. We're not comparing it, but what's your overall feeling on the movie? Okay, what's your overall feeling on the movie? Out of 1 to 10.
Like, my feelings regarding...
the movie.
The movie from a general aspect, or... I don't understand why this is so hard for you to understand. I'm asking, are you trying to have my opinion over this movie over every other movie, like in the history of movies that ever existed, or over
itself? What is your rating of the movie?
It's like directing, acting.
Yes.
Well,
that's the same thing it's always been for our show. I've never compared the one movie to another.
Oh, I wasn't comparing them to each other. I didn't understand.
Yeah, like the overall rating of the movie. Like 1 out of 10 stars or 1 out of...
like a Siskel and Ebert score. Because...
I know it's been a while since we've done I know it's been a while since we've done the show. But that's the... I thought, isn't that the way you've always rated the movies? Like Siskel and Ebert or Roper or... what's that other guy? Gene Shalit?
Yeah. I just always thought that it was a horror podcast, so we were focusing on just horror movies when we were doing our ratings.
Well, we are... yeah, but I mean, what is your feeling of the movie 1 out of 10 is what I thought we were always, that's what I've always done.
I guess I interpreted that as what is.
Holy moly. Okay.
I can't verbalize. What I'm thinking.
All right. Fair enough. So now we're going to dig into the plot. And as it happens, Corky, or Anthony Hopkins, is explaining to his teacher Merlin how one of his big nights went when he was actually on the stage and doing his show. And as he's telling the story, he's telling it like he did very well.
Yeah, he tried to make it look like the show went well, that he was well received.
But as it's actually showing on the screen, he's bombing. The people are laughing and drinking,
heckling him,
and just, you know, not paying attention. And I think his teacher can see through the bullshit because he says, you know, Merlin makes something of a quote to the effect of, you know, like, nobody ever does well their first time or something like that. And then it cuts to a short time later, and Corky's on stage again. And his agent, Ben Green, who is again played by Burgess Meredith.
And the other guy, I don't know what the other guy...
he's been on a bunch of stuff.
Well, I know he was on MASH, but...
was he?
Yeah.
Okay. I closed that show out of my mind, because it was always...
it was on After Three's Company.
So he's on Corky. Anthony.
Why Corky? Why do you think they chose the name Corky for... I mean, is it like ironically creepy?
I think so, probably. Because, I mean, Corky is usually short for Charles, right? Isn't that what
You're thinking of Chuck.
I think... didn't they call... what was the kid... what was that show with the kid with the head down syndrome? Oh, bloody... oh, I remember...
Life Goes On.
Yeah, Life Goes On. They called him Corky, but his girlfriend, who also had down syndrome, also called him Charles.
And maybe it is a nickname for Charles.
So, I think it's probably, like you said, ironically, like, spooky and... goofy at the same time.
Disturbing.
So Ben Green, Burgess Meredith, is hosting an NBC exec to see Corky's new show. And as the exec pulls up, you see like a, not a movie poster, but like a, an advertisement for Corky's show, Corky and Fats, on stage, or no, it doesn't even say Fats. Yeah, okay. It just says, you know, he's been here for like 28 weeks.
Yeah.
28 weeks in a row. So the exec comes in and he's sitting down with Ben Green, and they're talking about, you know, oh, magic show, or the exec is making kind of snide comments about.
He's like, oh, you brought me to see a magic show?
Yeah, like that's, you know, kiddie play kind of thing. And Ben Green just keeps telling him, you know, just, you got to watch, you got to pay attention. So as Corky is on, I keep thinking back to when you said, saying Corky in a serious. So as Anthony Hopkins is on stage,
he starts to hear heckling from.
Yeah, he gets heckled again. And but this time, like, everybody in the crowd is really involved in what he's doing.
And the NBC guy is intrigued.
He's like, he doesn't understand, or he even makes the comment, like, goddamn hecklers or something like that. So Anthony Hopkins goes out into the crowd, and he, well, you come to learn that the heckler is actually a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, he's throwing his voice.
So he brings the dummy up on stage, and he introduces everybody to Fats, which is the ventriloquist dummy.
The name of, his name.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we watched the, kind of the making. It was in with the DVD. And they went through a bunch of different ventriloquist dummies to come onto that one. To ultimately decide on the one that they used.
Yeah.
And they did a pretty good job because he is freaky. But they also wanted to, they said they wanted to make it kind of like a exaggerated
caricature
of Anthony Hopkins.
But his bad features.
Yeah.
So Corky now has Fats on the stage, and he's telling dirty jokes. He's
doing his shtick.
His show. The crowd is really getting into it, and he's telling jokes. He's doing, and actually, as Nancy said, we watched the making of kind of thing, and Anthony Hopkins did actually do the voice for Fats, but did not control the dummy itself.
Yeah, that was some obnoxious other guy. But if you have the misfortune to see the making of after.
Yeah, and that short is actually on YouTube, I saw. So
that guy can just, like,
he was
cringy. Not, yeah.
So after he does the show, he goes into the back room, the dressing room. And Ben Green comes in again, and he's explaining to Corky that, you know, he can make it big, but he's got to wait like 6 months to a year or something like
You'll
that.
You'll know that you've hit it big when I buy you dinner at...
It was the Four Seasons.
Four Seasons.
Yeah. When I buy you a free dinner, lunch or dinner at the Four Seasons, you know you've made it.
Yeah.
And he does kind of say, you know, he explains to Corky that he's going to have to take like a medical test and a... do like a background check or something like that.
Standard procedure. He's gonna have to do a health physical.
Right, and
that's when Corky's like, "Oh,
yeah, physical." You kind of see that Corky is a little worried about it, but Ben Green explains that it is standard procedure.
I don't see how a health physical would unveil his mental problem though, unless he has to bring Fats to the doctor with him.
I don't know. Corky refuses the medical examination due to
principle.
Yeah, and then it cuts. And now, so Corky splits town, and he's driving out. He takes a cab out to the country, and he passes by his old house, which is all like condemned and gross looking. He passes by an old cemetery. The cab driver asked him, hey, you got people in there? And he says, yeah, he used to, or yeah, some, but, so anyway, so he goes out to this, like, secluded cabins on a lake. And it turns out the cabins are owned by...
They're rental cabins in there.
Yeah. Turns out the cabins are owned by Peggy Ann Snow, who is played by Ann Margaret, and her husband. So Corky goes in, he rents the cabin. he doesn't think she recognizes him, and she doesn't think that he recognizes her, because apparently they went to school together and he had a crush on her. She kind of knew it, but wasn't, they she never made up, a play yeah, on each
she
other.
She ended up with
Doug. Was it Doug?
No, it wasn't Doug.
Bob.
No.
Phil.
No.
Jake.
No. I had the name and now I can't remember it because you threw me off. It's like a weird name, like Butch or something like that, but that's not it.
Duke. I was close with Doug. So they kind of go back and forth, and then he introduces himself as the old flame, brings Fats in, and they have a little bit of conversation. They drink some coffee or whatever.
Did you mention that Duke is, he's not there?
Right. Duke is off hunting or trading or something like that.
So this is just Corky and his one that got away.
Peggy Ann Snow.
And they're kind of reminiscing and rekindling some old... And he's famous now, so obviously she's...
More interested, probably.
Yeah, because she's like starstruck and...
And we didn't mention it, but I think you and I both noticed this time when he was in the dressing room, the picture of her... That was the same picture, because she goes in after he introduces himself and they split ways, and you know, this is when they don't think they recognize each other. But she goes in and looks in her yearbook, and you see the same picture that was on his desk in the yearbook. So connections. Corky comes back the next day and he explains how his teacher Merlin and Merlin's wife wanted to do a card trick where they could read each other's mind. And this is another kind of first glimpse at how frustrated Corky can get when he fails at a test. So the card trick is pull a card, shuffle them, put the card back in, switch decks with each other. Find your card and then think real hard, and he will pick her card out of her deck, which he now has.
So, you say that you see him getting frustrated. Did you not pick up on the fact that this was all, he did this on purpose? This was a setup for her.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Because then he says something later in the movie, and Fats tells her, "You fell for the oldest trick in the book," and then she realized, that's when she said, "Oh shit."
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So him getting frustrated that the card mind reading thing wasn't working was all part of his way to lure her in.
Oh, okay.
So she's already inclinated that her relationship with her husband is not great.
On steady ground.
And so he does this phony act where he tries to read her mind with a playing card, but he is a magician, sleight of hand. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he gets it wrong. And then he says, if like with his mentor, he and his wife had this true connection, if the connection was real, that he would be able to read her mind and know what card she had. And so he tells her to concentrate. And she's, I'm concentrating my ass off.
Okay.
And he guesses the card. We know after, you know, you watch the movie a few times like we have, that he did that on purpose, because now she's actually believing
that there's a true connection.
There's a connection there.
Okay.
So it was a setup.
Oh. Well, that makes a whole hell of a lot more. Okay, so, all right. Wow. I did catch, that's right, Fats did say that at the end. Okay. And we say Fats because, I mean,
he said something like, yeah, he even made you believe that something.
Yeah. Okay. Was that when he was standing outside her door?
Yeah. No, that was when, I don't remember. I don't remember where they were during that part, but.
All right. Okay. So, wow. Okay. Yeah. I do remember him saying that, but it never really clicked. Okay, cool. So they do the card trick. He gets frustrated, but apparently it was just a ruse. So Corky goes back to his cabin now after the card trick, and he starts arguing with Fats. And Ben
Fats is like, you better not be thinking what I'm thinking about that girl or whatever. It's a creepy exchange where he's fighting with himself.
He's fighting with himself, he's voicing both himself.
And, yeah, he's making the voicing. Dummy jealous that he's getting closer to this girlfriend.
Right.
Because Fats wasn't around back the first time around.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So Ben Green shows up and he catches Corky fighting with Fats. Corky just says, you know, this is a new act I'm working on.
Yeah, he kind of is embarrassed. He didn't know that Ben Green was watching him the whole time having this.
Which I don't understand that part because, okay, Ben is standing in the doorway and Corky has his back turned to him and Fats is facing the door. Mm-hmm. But then you hear Fats scream, but Ben doesn't say anything. So how does Corky know that Ben is standing behind him?
There's a couple of, that might be one of, because they did say during the documentary after that when they made Fats turn his head or something, they cheated. And they didn't like that they did that.
Okay.
Because there wasn't really a reason for it aside from it being creepy.
Okay, I do remember them saying that. So
probably that was maybe a cheat too.
Okay. Yeah, see, I'm learning more and more about this movie. Gonna have to watch it again. Yeah, So
he's like, now I know why you didn't want to take the health exam.
And he tells Corky to have Fats shut up for 5 minutes. So they're sitting there and they're
challenges him
talking.
Can you go 5 minutes without Fats saying anything?
And Anthony Hopkins is constantly like checking his watch or having Ben check his watch. And it's like, I don't think this is in real time because it seems like it goes like really 30 slow. Seconds takes like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, how much time? And Ben says 45 seconds. And then they make some small talk about nothing. And it's okay, what time now? And it's like a minute and a half. And then they make more small talk, and then they sit there in silence, and then
meanwhile,
how much time? And
there's beads of sweat dripping down his face.
He's like, he's getting stressed.
Yeah.
So, ultimately, Corky only makes it to 2.5 minutes, and he grabs...
Says, I'm not going to make it.
And he's got Fats sitting right next to him. And he says, I'm not going to make it. You know, so he grabs Fats, and he goes through this whole tirade of something or other, and... You know, Ben, he says, you know, so, hey, I understand, you know, whatever, we're pretty much done here. Ben gets up and he leaves and he's walking through the woods and Fats starts talking to Corky and says, you're not just going to let him get away, are you? Because he's going to go tell somebody that you're, you know, nutso, basically. Mm-hmm. So we laughed our ass off at this. But so Ben's walking away to his car. And Corky, you don't see Corky, but you see Fats, and he's like swinging through the air, and he's screaming, he's screaming, and he's hitting Ben in the head with Fats.
I want out of here! Simmer the hell down!
Just because...
Watch it, mister!
Just because some...
You've been warned!
Just because some sagging bitch of an orange in the drops of pants for you!
Shut up!
Corky, you do it so good, you're even better than the garbage man!
And it's just funny because, I don't know, this is one of those movies where it's like a true deep dive into like the downfall of a person's mind.
Yeah.
And the way they do it, like...
The danger of, like, schizophrenic.
And I think, ultimately, that's what it is. Because...
Well, there's a whole horror genre based on the fact that people that have mental issues are scary.
Right. And it's like that movie, it came out just a couple of years ago, The Haunting of Deborah Logan, where you think the woman is haunted, but it turns out she's just schizophrenic. And then it turns out that she actually is haunted or some weird movie like that. But so Fats, in quotes, kills Ben Green. Corky takes Fats back to the cabin and he's doing repairs on his head. Meanwhile, Duke, Peggy's husband, has showed back up at home and he wants to visit with Corky because he kind of wants to see. I don't think he knows. Well, they said they all went to high school together, right?
Yeah, Corky, Duke, and Peggy.
So Peggy comes out and invites Corky to dinner, and she says, Duke wants to see us together. So do you think Duke knew who Corky was in high school as well as now?
Well, I think that he thought that Corky was just some pipsqueak in high school, but he probably got home. I think that we're led to believe that he got home, and she told him that you know, Corky showed up while he was gone, and he's famous now, so put two and two together. Corky's back, and he's famous, and my wife's left alone with him. And so he tells her, I want to see the two of you together dinner.
Yeah, which, by the way, we did fail to mention that Corky and Peggy did get it on at one point.
Yeah, they definitely rekindled.
They did it.
Yeah. And Fats was in the room. He was on a chair.
Because they were in his cabin.
Yeah.
And you can see Fats kind of eyeballing them two, like, through a mirror in the bedroom. He's, like, looking at the mirror, watching them have sex. And so they did actually have sex. This is prior to Duke coming back. So they have their dinner. And the next morning, Duke is going out fishing, and he wants to take Corky with him because he wants to try and trap Corky into admitting that him and Peggy actually had sex. And Corky is not dumb enough to admit to it because he knows that it's a trap. And we should say that Duke had also found Ben Green's car. It's a Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm.
Nobody touches a Rolls Royce but a Rolls man.
Yeah, something like that. So as they're out fishing, they spot Ben Green dead up on the beach. He had kind of washed up on the beach. They paddle over to him real quick, and Duke starts doing the kiss of life, he called it. And he tells Corky to run to the cabin or run to the house and make, you know, call the cops or the paramedics or whoever. So as Duke is doing the kiss of life, Corky's in the house and he is quote unquote making a phone call to the paramedics. Or did he call the paramedics or did he call? Was that when he did the fake call to Ben Green? I think that's when he did the fake call to Ben Green, and then he came back out and told Duke that the paramedics were on their way. But anyway, so Peggy leaves. She goes away because Corky had invited her to run away with him, and she said she would have to tell Duke before she left, because, you know, they were married, they've been together for so many years, so she at least owes him.
She at least owes him to tell him in person that she was leaving.
Corky doesn't know this fact yet. He knows that she wants to tell him, but so Peggy leaves town for a little bit to go think on whether or not she wants to.
No, she says she wants to go take a bubble bath.
When does Corky kill Duke? Isn't that at this point? So Corky kills Duke. No. Okay. Duke is out with Ben Green. Corky runs up to the house. And then Duke goes into Corky's cabin, sees Fats, and you don't know it, but Corky is hiding behind a curtain. And this is when Fats, again in quotes, kills Duke by stabbing him over and over again with a switchblade or something. Oh, yeah. Fats blows the whistle. Okay. Oh, yeah, I did write it down, but I completely, yeah. So Peggy comes back from wherever she was at. She says, I'll run away with you, but I want to tell Duke first. And obviously she can't because Duke is dead.
Yeah.
And this is when Fats blows the whistle on Corky to Peggy that he uses the tricks to bag the ladies. So just like you were explaining. So mm-hmm. I did have it written down, but the way you explained it was much cooler. So Peggy runs off, and now Fats explains to Corky that Fats is in control of Corky. Corky is powerless, and he tells him to go kill Peggy. And this is when he's playing like Simon Says with Corky. He's telling him to, you know, stand up, smile. Corky's
playing Simon Says with himself.
Well, right.
Through Fats.
Through Fats.
And it shows you just how deep his dementia
right.
is, because he has him on the floor barking like a dog or whatever.
Doing like frowns and smiles and touch the ceiling.
So it's like, he really is sick. And that's what we're supposed to be thinking. Like, this isn't just a guy that is using his dummy to say things that he wouldn't say. He's not pretending any that he's, you know, going along with the shtick.
Right.
This is where we actually know that he really believes that Fats is there speaking to him.
Right. Okay. Which brings up a point. You give all the animals voices.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you make them talk back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody does that. Everybody does.
Okay. All right. Corky ends up stabbing himself in the gut with a knife.
He's saving Peggy from himself.
Right. And Corky dies. And as he's laying there dying, Peggy comes back out of the house. And she says that she'll run away with Corky anyway. But obviously, Corky is dead.
He's dying. And he actually has Fats dying there right next to him.
Yeah. And then Peggy does a horrible Fats impression. And then the credits roll. So, okay. Now, earlier in the show, you said you've seen this probably 300 times. Really 300 times?
No, it was probably more like around 50.
All right.
Hyperbole.
I think we've watched it since you introduced it to me probably 15, 20 maybe. So
we put the movie on, but we haven't always followed through with watching it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies that you can just kind of watch, and even the kids like this
one. It's creepy even if it's in the background.
It's a good Halloween movie. Or Halloween season movie, because it's like you said, you can put it on and not really pay attention to it and just kind of listen.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, 50, I'd say is probably better. And now, okay, we did the scores earlier, but I would like to clarify. You said, okay, so the gore score was a 2 because there's not a lot of gore. Just a couple head smacks from Fats to Ben, and then a couple stabbings, but it wasn't very brutal. Now, I know this movie is on your top 10 list of horror movies. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you please clarify how you rate your movies? You're not... I've been rating the movies based on their own merits.
Well, the movies that I've been rating for this...
For the show.
For the show is based on the movie catalog that we are discussing.
So you are rating each movie against another movie that we've seen.
Right.
Okay. Can you rate it based on its own merits?
Well, in a general sense, like out of all movies that I've seen in my life, I would probably put it down at like...
So you're... No.
Like a top 100?
No. Yeah, I'm not asking you to rank it. I'm asking you to rate it, like 4 out of 5 stars, or.
Well, you need to have the measurement, the level of measurement established. I don't have a scale to go by.
All right.
Or a control, as we call it.
Yeah, she's working on her paper again for school. So. Okay, I see what you're saying. So you need to have an establishing rank or establishing rate or an established control to...
Well, that's like if you get a woman. If you put the woman next to, like, who would be a good example?
You're a 10 out of 10. But I'm not ranking you against, like, Holly Hunter or Sigourney Weaver only because I'm looking at their poster.
So
I'm rating you based on your own merits.
Okay, so, and I can do that.
Your plot summary, your story, your acting.
I just need to know if it's a scale of 1 to 5, scale from 1 to 10, scale from 1 to 100.
1 to 10. 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10, and the category is horror movies, or is the category any movie that I've ever seen?
No, the category is just on the movie's own merits. Plot, acting, cinematography, etc.
Well, you can't... Anthony Hopkins can't really do a bad acting job.
Right.
So, I mean, his acting is top-notch.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do a bad job.
And he is super creepy in this movie, so he accomplished that goal.
Because, like, I give this movie a 9 out of 10. Just on creepiness, acting, the fact that he did his own tricks, the fact that he did his own ventriloquism, and Margaret playing her part, Ben Green, or Burgess Meredith playing his part, it's a 9 out of 10 for me. And it's a definite watch if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. For me, it's probably an 8 out of 10.
Really?
Are we rating it on our scale? Or, again, I'm not...
No. You're on its own merits.
On its own merits, I would probably... it. I don't know. Maybe in the... out of all movies? This is just... out of all movies, I would say it's probably in the 45th percentile.
Well, now you're unclouded, so you're thinking things out more. Okay, so we are going to have to come up with a rating system together. Okay, just give me your score out of 10. What would you rate this out of 10?
For our movies?
No, for this movie.
This movie,
10 being perfect, 1 being crap.
Well, like a Siskel and Ebert kind of.
Yes.
Let's do 5 stars or, you know, up to 5 star, whatever it is.
1 out of 10.
Okay. Siskel and Ebert-wise, I would say this is a solid 7.
You don't like it that much?
There's some things that, I mean, there's some lulls in it, you know, the sex scene that really doesn't have...
You just don't like it because you know I like Anne Margaret.
To me, that seems kind of unnecessary. It's, I don't know. It is a good movie, yeah. But there's a reason why I didn't win any Oscars.
Well.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's why I say 7 out of 10. If it were on a scale of 1 to 5, it would probably be 4 out of 5.
Okay. All right. Okay, so there you have it, folks. Yeah, that was Magic from 1978. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your families. We are on all podcast platforms, or most podcast platforms.
We are Extreme Horror Replay. You can find us on all the major podcast platforms. We are on Amazon Music now, so you can listen to us there if you'd like. But you can find us on Instagram at @XHR_podcast. You can find us on, like I said, all the podcast platforms at Extreme Horror Replay. We do have a Patreon. It would be mighty awesome if more than just Kark signed up. You do get some cool stuff in return. We're not going to beg. We do have a TeePublic, so you can buy some cool swag. And thank you to those out there who have already. We greatly appreciate it. We do get a little piece of each sale, so that's kind of cool.
Goes towards the human fund. Money for people.
It's a Festivus for the rest of us. I think that's about it. We can do some shout outs. We got Little Ben and Eamon from Watching Films on a Toilet.
Our swag is on sale right now too, isn't it?
I don't think it will be. But they're always putting it on sale.
Okay.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, I don't think it will be. But there's always sales.
We're wearing ours.
Yeah, actually, yes, we both are right now. So we got Watching Films on a Toilet, A Scary Home Companion, Our Life in Horror, We Love Horror /You Podcast, A Podcast on Elm Street, The Horror Movie Crew, The Horror Movie Club, many others. There's many others. I don't know. So... we can give shout outs to Nancy's sisters because I think they're probably the only family that listen.
Yeah.
Hey, sisters. And now we're rambling. So I'm just going to say goodbye. So be safe out there and happy travels. Hon.
What?
It's your turn to say goodbye or bye y'all or say the fuck later or whatever you're gonna.
It's been real.
That's what you're torturing us with this time? All right. So, yes, from Extreme Horror Replay, I am Ben. That is Nancy. And we will talk to you all next week. Peace out, folks. Bye.